Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host for D&K Bible Break, the one and only Derek Oliver. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to thank all those that are listening to us through the phone lines or through the internet. We just want to say good evening to you, and hopefully you're having a blessed Monday and you had a blessed weekend. First and foremost, I want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of my life, for looking out for me, waking me up in my right frame of mind and giving me the activity of my limbs. Just want to say thank the Lord for that. And again, for those that are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, that's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or you can reach us at 845-277-9094. We're live on Blog Talk tonight, D&K Bible Break to start the week off. We got a good word for you on today. So I just want you to just sit back and listen. A few announcements before we get into it. Before I get into my announcement, I just want to say good evening to Miss Kay. Good evening.
Good evening. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to everybody that's out there. And again, like I said, we got a great word for you tonight. But first and foremost, just let me just, before I open us up with prayer, before I let Kay take over, I just want to say thank you to all my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Brentwood Publishing. I just want to say a shout out to Jens. Also to my engineers out of St. Augustine's College out in North Carolina, and also out of my other engineer out of Cleveland, Ohio, out of the radio station out of there. I just want to send shouts out to them. Also, my man from Pepsi, Bruce, just say what's up. Also, we got some exciting news going on. I'm excited about this because I like to say the Lord is using me, and I don't know why he's using me, but he's using me to facilitate us going to London and being over in London. Some of the people that's engineering their radio station now, we're live. We'll be live on there also tomorrow night. I know it's midnight over there, so they'll be listening to D&K's Bible Break. They'll also be listening to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study tomorrow, and we're working on getting footage of video. When we live stream on Facebook, the video isn't good coming over there, and we're working on that as we speak. But Praise Tabernacle Church, let me just say this, will be broadcasting over there live in a couple weeks. The Bible study will be on tomorrow night live over there. They'll play it live, but also the churches over there that's going to be playing it will do it for their noonday Bible study on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm excited about that and facilitating with different engineers over there, but also getting an opportunity to meet different pastors over there and to present my church, Praise Tabernacle, and Bishop Omar Zachary to be live over there is a blessing. You'd have told me this 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have believed any of it. You'd have told me this 6 months ago, I would have laughed at you. Lord is opening up doors that I didn't even think, and sometimes I don't even have the qualifications to do, to be honest with you. And when I say I'm talking to people that are they're just top-notch people, way out of my league, way out of my field. I say that, and I already know what people are telling me. As a child of God, you're never out of your league. That is true, but when you're dealing with people who have degrees on top of what, asking me for my opinion and how did we get to where we got to, and I'm just, I'm from the hood. of Mineral Ridge. I know I'm making some people in Warren mad, but I claim Mineral Ridge. That's where I went to school at. But
well,
that's where I'm from.
Warren. How about that? I'm claiming
Say
Warren.
Say that again? Well,
I'm claiming Warren.
You claim them and all them phony preachers they got up there in Warren, too. But I'll leave that for a different day, for a different show, for a different time.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to thank all those that listen to Blog Talk. Please be listening on tomorrow night as Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on live. We're getting ready for just getting ready to do Bible study, and it will be the first Bible study from Blog Talk over to London that's going to be pre-recorded. So everything we do tomorrow is going to be pre-recorded for Tuesday, for Wednesday night, for their Bible study on Wednesday night. And then when we go live on, I don't have the Sunday yet, but as soon as we get the video footage worked out, we'll be live on in London, and it will be a special service for them to see Praise Tabernacle service live. It will be a live stream fed over there. We're working the kinks out. So in the next, give us about 2 weeks to get everything worked out. We're going to be trying everything Thursday night. When they go on Thursday night, we're going to do a trial. Thursday night, we'll do another trial Sunday to see which one is the best. And once we get the best, we'll get ready to do our promotions and commercials, and we'll be over in London. And this is going to be a permanent. Every time Blog Talk, every time Chaos Talk goes on, we'll be coming right out of London as well. We're going to have a sister station that will be broadcasting all of our services live, like they're doing. So I'm excited about that. And again, if you call me or email me asking me your own question, I'm going to tell you the way I got it is through the Lord. So you got to ask the Lord to give you directions and all that, because I really don't know. And I'm just going to keep it that simple that way. With that being said, we're going to have a moment of prayer. Then you're going to hear my precious wife come on and talk about a good subject we got going on. And then we'll be ready to go. I got a couple titles for it, but I'm going to let it alone because she worked on this. And I'm just going to sit here and just facilitate her as she teaches the class tonight. So, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. We just want to thank you for bringing us here again, Father God, in our right frame of mind. Father God, if anything in us is not like you, Father God, we ask that you remove it right now, Father God. And if we offended anyone, Father God, we ask it for your forgiveness right now. Father God, we just ask it that you hide us behind the cross where we're not seen, but your word is seen and heard. And Father God, give the listeners the ear not to only hear the word, but be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, we pray. And now I'm going to turn it over to Miss Kay. You go right on ahead. You're going to take us home.
All right. And preferably I won't be too long-winded with the beginning portion, and then I'm going to let my husband add on to his thoughts into what we're going to be talking about tonight. So our subject for tonight is going to be coming from Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. So that is Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 48. And again, I like to give scriptures because I don't want to be talking and you're like, okay, where you get that from? I want it to always reflect back on the word. So have your pen and papers ready. I do have a couple of scriptures that I'll be giving out throughout tonight. But again, the subject matter is going to be coming from Luke chapter 6, verses 47 through 48. And I'm just going to start at 47. I'm sorry, yeah, 47. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. So tonight we're going to be talking about steps to building a house or steps to building a home. So I'm going to be just going into a home. It's not a home building class, but a home building kind of like way of looking at your body, building your home. So I was looking this weekend and I studied some steps on how to build a house. And so I did take down some steps. I'm not going to go into every single aspect. So if you're a carpenter, if you build houses and you know how to do all that engineering stuff, I'm not going that deep. I'm just going to touch on the basics of building a house. I do have five points that I want to make. I'm going to try not to be long-winded, So I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. So I was thinking, okay, I know we all, well, maybe you, maybe not, but I can only imagine. I know I've been somewhere where I have felt not welcome, whether it's somebody's house or it's just a vibe you get like you're not welcome and you don't feel welcome, or maybe there's like too much noise going on in the house, negative activity going on, and you just don't feel right about being in that house. And sometimes it could be you could be visiting someone, you could be at their home, maybe they don't have time to talk to you or they don't have time to spend with you, they're too busy, they're doing their own thing, they're just doing them. So when I was thinking about that last week, I'm like, okay, Lord, this house that we have, which is our body, this is where the Lord should feel welcome. And I know there are times in my life where I'm sure the Lord felt like an uninvited guest. And that's a bad way to feel, because if physically, in the natural sense, if I feel that I'm uninvited, I mean, I know the Lord is, I can't say he has feelings like that, but I would just think that, okay, I'm not wanted, I'm not invited, I'm going to keep it moving. So I'm going to go ahead and start with my first point here. The first point into building a house, and when I say house, keep in mind I'm talking about your temple, your dwelling place for the Lord, your body. That's what I'm talking about when I refer to house. And I'm also going to relate it to the natural way of building a house as well. So initially when you start building a house, there, the lot has to be empty, the lot. And with that, you have to totally surrender to Christ. You have to clear all of the junk out. You have to have an empty space. You have to give up your will and trust the Lord fully. And you have to be willing to let go of everything that does not lift up the name of Jesus. And there was this song that I like. It's I Gotta Clean Up What I Messed Up. Starting My Life Over Again. I'm pretty sure y'all know the song. I'm not familiar with who sings it, but I really like that song. And I'm like, we need to clean up our lot. Clean out the lot, make it empty, so the Lord can fill you with his presence, fill you with the Holy Spirit. So with that, I was saying it is eviction time. So you have to give an eviction notice. You got to kick the devil out. You can't have him lingering around. You got to kick him out. The Lord cannot dwell in your temple with the devil right there. The two don't go hand in hand. So you got to choose which one you're going to do. So you got to empty that lot out. So that's point number one. And with that, I did have a scripture, Romans 12 and 1, at your leisure. Go ahead and read it. But 12 and 1 talks about our body being the living, our body as a living sacrifice for the Lord. So that's my point one. And I'm sure my husband is going to go into what he thinks about, you know, elaborate on some of these points as well. So the next point that I want to touch base with is what the builders call it, is scraping the lot. They say scrape the lot, mark it for the foundation, put in the corner stakes for the house. And what I got from that is to accept Christ into your life. Invite him to dwell within your home, your temple. Put in the corner stakes for the house, the corner stakes. In other words, get you a good study Bible, become a member of a Bible-believing church, surround yourself with the followers, true followers of Jesus Christ. You got to have somebody that's going to hold you accountable when you make a mistake, when you're doing something that's contrary to what the Bible is saying. You need somebody in your corner that's there for you and that's going to keep it real. And the scripture that I have with that is Ephesians 3 and 17. It says, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So you have to mark it for the foundation. Scrape the lot. That's number three. Point number three. This is what they call laying out the foundation. So you lay out the foundation. That's the next step in the home building process. And they have the framing, which is like some 2x4s that are placed on brick. And the 2x4s that are placed on bricks, they call this resting on the foundation itself. Now, these aren't words that I would have thought I would have found the builder saying. I'm like, oh, I love that, resting on the foundation itself. And the framing has to rest on the foundation. So I'm going to say that again. The framing has to rest on the foundation. Now, am I thinking, I believe that this is only talking about having solid ground. But as I looked a little deeper, I learned that the foundation is where the framing rests. So you have to go deep in the Lord to lay the foundation. So you have to go deep to lay the foundation. Because if you don't, then anything that comes along can sway you. Now, anything, brother, it would be like, for example, we have a lot of false doctrine that goes on. We have a lot of things in this world, a lot of witchcraft going on, even in ministry, various schemes of the devil, temptation, stress, social media, that's a big thing. You can spend hours on your phone just scrolling and you don't even know. You go from one ad to the next ad and then next thing you know, 2 hours pass. These are all things that go against your time with the Lord where you could be going deep in his word. So that's anything that takes your attention away from the Lord or anything that takes your time away from the Lord. It could be your kids, your spouse, your job. It doesn't even matter. Whatever is taking your time away from the Lord, it's preventing you from going deep to lay that foundation deep. So that's the only way that you can do that. And that goes back to our verse here in 48, where it says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. So the thing about that, you got to make sure that your foundation is deep. And the only way you're going to do that is going by deep in the Lord. So you can't go any deeper in the Lord if you don't study and fast and pray and take time out to do those things. So that's point number three for the building of your house. Point number four, this is where in the video that I watched, the utilities are marked. So, and this is where the plumbing system, you know, which goes under the slab, is laid. So now we all know that the plumbing system helps with waste elimination. So God lives in you with all the other stuff you have going on in your life. And I want to know, is he comfortable? Is God comfortable living in you? Have you made it a place where he feels comfortable? Or is this like a place where he can't even dwell? Or is it just something that you do to make it look presentable on the outside and you don't want him going to those deep areas where you really need him to help you? And a lot of times we do, I don't want to say we, but a lot of times I've noticed that I've seen, you can go to somebody's house. Oh, okay, let me just tell you. Okay, I went to somebody's house and I went with a friend, so it wasn't my friend, it was a friend of a friend's, and I went, and we were visiting, and the house looks nice on the outside. You go in, and the entrance, all that is very nice. Little on me, I had to go to the restroom, so I asked, can I use the restroom? And, you know, they're like, sure, go down the hall, blah, 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 and I went down, and when I got down there, and I looked, I said, oh, no. I had to turn around. I said, I'm good. So I didn't tell them I'm good. I was good, but I just could not go because it was not what it was made out to be. So, and a lot of us, we have those, this front put up where you only seeing the surface or you only seeing the presentation that we want to present to you in this house, meaning the temple. You, if you go deeper, if you push any buttons, you're going to see the real mess that's going on inside that house. And I don't know how the Lord could live in just a house full of mess. And I know you wouldn't want to live in a house full of mess. So we got to go a little bit deeper. And if you want the Lord to be comfortable in your home, then you got to go let go of everything that makes him uncomfortable. You got to let go of all the stuff that makes the Lord uncomfortable. You got to allow the Lord to go into the house where there's that dark, dusty closet. You got to allow God to clean the filth in the crevices of your life. And you got to allow him to search you. Allow him to create in you a clean heart. Allow him to renew the right spirit. You got to just let the Lord go deep within you. Got to let him dwell within you, reside within you. Leave everything else alone. Let it all go. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So that's point number four for building this house. And my last point is the last thing that they mentioned on the video. Well, not the last. This is the last point that I took from the video because the rest of it goes into, like, the framing and stuff of the house. But the last point is that the slab is poured. And the slab is like the concrete that covers everything. So with that, you know, we've all seen slabs and we've all seen concrete. I know you've seen it where it's freshly poured and you might want to write your name in it or put in some symbols or something. I don't, maybe we just did that in the hood, but if we saw some fresh concrete, it was on because we were going to be writing everything we wanted to in that concrete. So we've all seen that, I hope. And with this concrete, the thing about it is it covered the things that was under it. Like, for example, the utilities that would, the markings of the utilities and the markings of the plumbing system, it covered all that stuff up. So the thing about this, what I gathered is God sees our mistakes. We're not perfect. We all fall short. And he knew from the beginning what the consequences were. So, you know, that goes back to for the wages of sin is death. So the thing about it, though, is that God purchased our lives with his own blood, and so we're covered. And that concrete that's for the house, that's the covering. That's the blood that covers us. So with that being said, I'm going to let my husband, I don't know if I made sense, but we're talking about building a house. So elaborate.
Oh, I'm going to definitely elaborate on a few things. You're doing good, though. I'm learning something as you talk about it, and you know, I made some mental notes. My one question is, whose house was you over that had the nasty bathroom?
I am not going to tell you that.
No.
I'm not going to tell you that.
You ain't going to tell us? Okay.
That's,
well, I know a lot of people wanted
places
to ask that question. Right. Well, we know it had to have been before Corona, so I can try to eliminate a lot of stuff, but I'm going to find out. But anyway, what you're saying is very good. And as Christians and as believers, when you have a foundation and it has to be built, what that's saying is you're not going to be perfect, but you got to have a belief that no matter what, you can be shaken. No matter how many people hurt you, no matter how many people upset you, or you got to have that firm foundation that no matter what happens, I'm still going to serve the Lord. I didn't say you ain't going to be hurt. I didn't say things was going to go your way all the time. But when you have that foundation and it's built upon, that's a strong foundation. You ain't got to know Genesis or Revelation, but your belief system in the Lord and knowing that the Lord can change your situation at any moment in time, that's a strong foundation. You may slip and slide here and there, but that foundation of believing of who Christ is and what he's all about, that's having a strong foundation. As well, and the plumbing is the most, probably in everyone's house, is the most important is the plumbing. Now, I'm going to say some things that you may agree with, you may not agree with when it comes to this, but some people, when you go to their house, and we're talking about the body being the temple, some people is full of you know what, because the plumbing system ain't right, and they full of it because you can listen to them talk, the way they act, and it comes out. So what's in you is going to come out. So what coming out of you is full of you know what is based upon what's inside you spiritually. Now she talked about the foundation of a house, and we all know the temple is our house. None of us is perfect. The Bible tells us that, but we ought to strive to be perfect. So, you know, you slip up every now and then, the Lord can deal with that. But when you just full of you don't know what, one minute you don't know who you're serving, you can't live like that. And I'm going to say this too. It's an insult to the people of the house. If you build in your house the way you're supposed to build it and sin can't dwell in it, you can't live in sin and expect your house to be of great value. So what I mean by that is you can't be waddling in sin Monday through Saturday and then want to be holy on Sunday and expect the Lord to use you. You feel like you know what? The system don't work like that. The Lord can't dwell in you like that. It's just not going to be there. I can't say he can't touch you, he can't heal you at different times of your life, but he's trying to get your attention to tell you you're full of. And some people got to go to the doctor. Sometimes you got to have your whole house tore down in order to fix that. And some people in the church is waddling with a bad plumbing system. The pipes are bad. And you think because the outside of the house looks good that it has value when it doesn't. Because when an inspector comes over there and inspects your house and they see them bad pipes, they're going to tell you, we can't put this on the market because these pipes are bad. You can't sell it like that. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit is the inspector. And he's telling you, that's why so many people are corrupt. The Holy Spirit is telling them, but they don't want to believe it. So what they do is they get these New Day Age Bibles to make their sin fit their lifestyle.
Hmm.
Like they say this, and I heard this today, love is God. God loves everything. Well, God can't love two lesbians. They're living in sin. I don't care how cute it looks. I don't care how prosperous it looks. God can't dwell in that mess. But you can't say that. God loves everybody. God does love everybody, but he don't love sin. And if you're living in sin, it doesn't make any sense. Just like my wife said, she went to a house on the outside that looked beautiful. But when she got up in there, it was full of mess. And if you think that the Lord can live in you, and we do serve a living God that lives and dwells within us, he can't live in that mess.
Amen.
He can't. And me, I can't be full of mess on Monday, and then on Sunday, I can go and shout and dance all over the church and think that the Lord is inside me. That's just performance. So it's important that you take the scriptures that she's reading and you got to have that foundation. And some of us may have to tear the house down. We may have to have a whole new foundation. But what people do, and I'm going to let my wife take over in a minute, is what they do is they do these slab houses. And these slab houses, they look good on the outside, but all the material, it will not last in a storm. It will the storm will come and it'll blow it away. It's like trailer homes. If you've been in some trailer homes are really nice, but they're not built to withstand storms. And what we're going through right now, you can look good on the outside all you want. You can say the right words all you want. You can, you know, have as many pastors, friends as all you want and go all you want. But if your inside is not clean, when that storm comes, it's going to blow you away. And that's what we're seeing happening in the church today. People are being blown away. When something hits them, it gets blown away. I'm gonna use this, and then I'm gonna let you talk. But Pastor Jamal Bryant, if you listen to him preach, he's an awesome preacher. But he has a jacked up lifestyle. He got a lot of baby mamas. And trying to get back with his baby mama on these reality shows, he looked like a joke. But he has to play the part, and it looks good. If you don't know the word, it looks good. But how you can be a pastor, have daughters, and have baby mamas all over the place. And you show the kids with your baby mama, but the other kids you don't show. That's not being a father. That's not being a man. And I'm sorry, that's not being a Christ. I don't care what kind of position you in. It shows you weak as a man. Now, I'm not picking on him, but I'm just using that as an example for you to see. All you got to do is Google his name and see all that he's been through. It looked good on the outside, but on the inside, it's nasty. If you're going to explore anyone and follow anyone, make sure that when you explore them, that their house is built on a good foundation. That if you go to their bathroom, you can go to their bathroom and it looks pretty good. Now, I've made some jokes around some of my friends and close family members, but if you come over to my house, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, right now, today, it ain't going to, may not be like this tomorrow or next year, but today, if you come over our house, it's kind of, you know, because we got so many people in the house, it may not look presentable to go to our downstairs bathroom. I'm just being honest.
That's that
it's
uninvited guest.
Well, right, exactly. I didn't want to go there, but, you know, when you got people that come in and out of your house with different spirits, when you go to release that mess, it could be very raggedy, and it's uncomfortable, and you try to do what you can do to get out of it. And sometimes tearing it or the whole thing down may not even be good enough. Sometimes you got to move because the foundation ain't good foundation where you're trying to lay it at. It's not a good foundation. That's why when people go buy houses and have them built, the first thing they look at is for a lot that has a good foundation to build it on. Because the lot that this house is built on, it can't withstand a lot of storms. It can't take too many more storms. I'm done. Go ahead, Weiss. I'm sorry.
Amen. You touched on a nerve right there when you said that, because, you know, I've been fussing for a long time now. So about our uninvited guests that we got that we can't seem to get rid of. So I try to make it so unpleasant to be here, but it seems like they don't care and they just want to stay. So pray for us, because we got a situation. We got a situation that's not working out too well, and we don't know how to solve it. So just pray for us. Okay, let me get back on topic. So in reference to the foundation, we were talking yesterday, and you made a good point. You didn't bring it out yet, so I'm going
to
bring it out.
Oh, I was about
you
to.
Made a
you
good
want me to bring it out? Go ahead, though.
Yeah, bring it out for me. You can bring it out. Go ahead and bring it out.
No, what I'm going to do is, if you got that Matthew 16 for me.
Yeah, I'll read it for you. You want me to go ahead and read it?
Yeah, go ahead and read that for me. Matthew 16, I believe it's 17 and 18.
Yes, but somebody told me to write it down. They didn't tell me to read it, so.
Well, that's fine. Well, let me before you read it, let me just break it down.
Okay.
In every house that is being built, you got to have a blueprint. It doesn't matter. Before it's even built, before the foundation, before anything, there's a blueprint to the house. And when you get the blueprints tells you how everything is going to be built. It gives you the foundation. It gives you everything. How many rooms is going? It gives you everything. How many square footage? It knows everything about the house. What I'm saying is, so when you're building up in your house, the Lord already created you. He already knows you. He knows how many hairs you have on your head because He created you. He knows everything about you. So the foundation or the blueprint comes from the Lord. Now, 16, 17, if you read that for me real quick, I'm going to say it and I'm going to be done. Matthew 16, I think 17 and 18.
All right. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it."
Right. Well, what would happen there, a verse before that, Jesus asked his disciples a question, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said Jonah, some said a prophet, but it was Peter that said that you're Jesus, the Son of God. And he said the flesh didn't reveal this to you, but the Spirit told him who it was. And upon that knowledge, his church should be built. And upon that knowledge of you knowing who Christ is, and once you know who he is, and that's that rock, that's that foundation that can't be shaken. So it's not man's doctrine. It's not the rules of the Pope or the rules of a bishop or the rules of the – it's not any of that has anything to do with how your house is being built. Your house is being built based upon who Jesus Christ is. That's it. That's the blueprint. Can't no one take that away. Can't no one add to it. That is the blueprint of how you build your temple. How do you build the inside of your house? The first thing you got to do is you got to believe who Jesus Christ is. You can't believe it because your mama told you. You can't believe it because daddy told you. You got to know that because the Lord is telling you that. And if you believe that, that's how you get your foundation built. That's the first thing you have to do. And everything else will fall right in line. It ain't going to be easy, but everything else will fall in line. And if you have that blueprint, can't nothing sway you. Can't nothing tear you down. Can't nothing break you from knowing whose you are and whose you are.
Amen. Amen. With that blueprint, what I like about the blueprint is that the Lord designed us before we were even born in our mother's womb. The blueprint was already designed. So that being said, whatever we do, whatever we have right now going on in our lives, if it's not the blueprint that the Lord developed, then we need to ask him to clean us up and to make us the way he wants to have us be made. Because this blueprint that we have now, we didn't add so much to it. We didn't knock out rooms. We didn't add on to this, and we took away from here. And we kind of messed up. We probably got holes in the wall here, and we got cracks in the foundation. We got so much going on in the blueprint that the Lord developed for us. We jacked the blueprint up. We jacked the foundation up. So in order for the Lord to dwell within us, we have to empty out ourselves and allow him to dwell. Welcome the Holy Spirit in. Invite him in. Let him do all of the cleaning. And now, when I say let him do all the cleaning, that don't mean you sit back and like, oh, the Lord is going to do this. The Lord, no. I believe you just said during your prayer, you can't just be hearers. You got to be doers. So you can't just sit back and think that the Lord is going to do this. The Lord, you have to do stuff as well. You have to show the Lord that this is what you want. He's not going to force himself in your home. He's not a burglar. He's not coming in to just force himself in there. You have to welcome. You have to invite. So in order to do that, you got to get back to the blueprint that he designed for your foundation, your house.
And I know you're going to appreciate what I'm getting ready to say, and all the ladies out there are going to appreciate what I'm getting ready to say. But there's a difference between cleaning up and straightening up. And what happens in the church is we straighten up a lot of mess. Instead of cleaning it up, we straighten it up. We patch it together to make it fit. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't matter. I know people, and I know you know people, and people who listen and know people who's out of order, but we can't say it because politically we can't say nothing. Politically, I've been walking a tight line, but I really don't care because I don't do this to walk a tight line. I do this to be free. And I can say what I want to say, and based on what I'm saying is people clean up or straighten up instead of cleaning up. There's so many sissies and dykes leading praise and worship. It's not right. It's wrong. It's a sin. And then when I say that, everybody from the Gay Coalition, the Rainbow Court, want to email and talk about, well, you know, that's not true, God is love, and throw me these scriptures. Well, I'm going to say this. If it was okay for men and women to be like that, there would be scriptures to very clarify that you can live like that. We don't got to make excuses, but this new day age stuff, we want to straighten up mess, and you can't straighten up mess. You can't do it. You have to clean it up. In order to clean it up, you got to be delivered from it. Now we're talking. How do you deliver yourself? You got to believe what you're doing is a sin, and it's not of God. And then he can clean you up better than anybody else can. And that's simple. That's basic Christianity. He can clean you up. I can't clean you up. But the Lord can clean you up. And I'm not going to say it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just going to tell you my opinion, and my opinion don't mean nothing. But it's not of God. It's not of God. I got scriptures that can prove it, but we're not going to go off into there. But that's just part of cleaning up and not straightening up. Another part of straightening up and not cleaning up is when you know that you got evil in you and you do nothing about it. You can go and shout and praise and fall out all day Sunday, and come Monday you want to curse people out, talk about people, offend people, steal from people, lie on people, gossip about people, and yet think that you a child of God. No, you full of you know what. You need to clean that mess up and stop straightening up just for a day or two. Or when the holiday season coming up, and I know everyone's going to be getting their house to be what you want to call it, Christmas ready, I know we do here. We want to have the mood of just a good, because we're blessed. The Lord has blessed us. We're not all into the Santa Claus and all of that, but because the Lord has blessed us another year, we want to make our home presentable to if we do have guests. I'm excited about that. This is my first year in Atlanta, the first year coming up that I'm going to have all of the kids together. We're going to try to have all the kids together. We're a blended family. We're going to try everyone together. Now, today it don't look so good. It just looked like there's chaos all over the place, but that is a goal of mine. But in order to do that, we have to clean up some mess. We can't straighten it up. We can't straighten up mess. And kids sometimes, and when I say this, I'm talking to a lot of elders and pastors, want to straighten up mess. They want to hide stuff up under the bed, throw stuff in the closet and shut the door and make it look presentable, but it's still raggedy. What I'm saying is you live a raggedy lifestyle. You just want to clean it up, but we know you. It's a shame when I can talk to preachers and when we talk and we get one-on-one, their conversation change. I ain't talking about it changes for the different because now I see where they're at. They want to see where I'm at. They said, do you see what such and such had on? And I'm just looking there and see it's already right now, my spirit already feels bad because I know where they're going. And if I allow myself to get into that, not only if I'm disrespecting the Lord, I'm disrespecting my wife. Not only if I'm disrespecting my wife, she has girls, it becomes disrespectful for them as well to even have that type of conversation with another married man about a single female looking a certain way. See, I'm stepping on a lot of toes, and I ain't going to get a lot of amen, but they know what I'm talking about. Or the
See,
church
but with that,
Go
But
ahead.
With that, though, with that goes back to your temple, your body, your house. The Lord knows what's going on. There's nothing hidden from him. So you can do all that and fake it and shake it, and he sees everything. So I just wish that people would take the opportunity to clean up their house, clean up your house. Make it presentable for the Lord. That's the only one that matters at the end of the day. Nothing matters. The pastor, the church people, your siblings, people on your job, none of that matters if your house is a mess. What matters is that the Lord is allowed to dwell in your house and that you're making it comfortable for him. So the people that you're talking about, the Lord can't be comfortable in a house like that. And we as believers, you know, we do need to just call it out. I don't need to be your friend and be a fake friend to you. I need to tell you, look, that ain't right. We shouldn't even be going there. We don't have to go there. That's not what we called to do. So we're responsible for helping other people clean their house too. They may not like it. They may not want to stop doing some things, but if they call themselves a believer, then they need to make sure that their temple is clean because people are watching. The world is watching. Everybody's eye is on us. So if we're presenting our bodies one way and we're going contrary to what the Bible is saying, that's not good. God is not pleased with that. So we need to watch our temples.
Yeah,
not just for the inside of our temples, but the external things, because, you know, the darts going to fly. The arrows going to come like flames at our temple. And you played a song at the beginning, Jesus be a fence all around me. And I was thinking, oh, well, that goes good with what I'm saying because, you know, when you get your house built, a nice sturdy fence is going to be needed as well because you don't want all them creatures coming in. You want to protect the outside of your house as well with that fence. So that was a good song that you played. And we want Jesus to be all around us, all around our house, all around this temple that he developed the blueprint.
Yeah, but don't forget about the but like you said in the very beginning, because you can have a white picket fence, you can have a nice looking house on the outside, and it looks real good. Me and my wife, if y'all don't know, pray for us because we're looking for how we're trying to purchase a home. So there's a lot that goes into when you purchase a home that we have to look because we'll be responsible to pay for everything once we get it. So we're looking, and one of the things that I'm noticing is there's a lot of nice looking homes on the outside, but when you go on the inside of it, it's nothing. And we could ride around these houses and be like, oh, this is nice, this is nice, until you go inside it. But as long as you're looking from the outside, you have the appearance of doing well. And I'm going to use this analogy that I did years ago, long time ago. I bought myself a Cadillac. And if you hear me talk about it, you said I want to get another Cadillac. The reason I bought the Cadillac and couldn't afford the Cadillac, but I got the Cadillac. I had it 4 months before the repo came and got it. It was a white, nice-looking Cadillac, had the sunroof, had everything in it. And every time I went to churches, I would automatically, you should see how just because of the car I drove, people would boost my confidence. I was more than what I was because of the car, but they didn't know I couldn't afford the car. They didn't know that. And what happened was I was in an accident. A deer hit the side of my car, and it had a big dent in it where I couldn't drive it, but the repo came and took it. So people thought I had an accident and I had to get a new car. But what I'm saying is sometimes you can fake it. You can fake people on the outside, and they'll believe because it's materialistic. I hope I'm making sense tonight. It's materialistic. Oh, he got that. He must be doing really good. Oh, he a preacher. And I was preaching at the time, had the suits and everything went with it. But on the inside, I was doing things for show. It wasn't for the right reason. And if you grew up in the church like I grew up in the church, if you got the show, you pretty much got it. It ain't even about the Lord. It ain't even about what you're talking about, Kay, because you're so far from just looking on the outside looking good, you really don't care about the inside. And you really don't care about who you hurt or if you're hurting anybody or even if you're hurting yourself because you just want the materialistic. You want that amen. You want the pat on the back. That's what you want. And I because I grew up in church, I've seen every side of it. So that side of it, I was thinking about it. I had that car for 4 months and forgot I even had the car and only had it for 4 months and couldn't afford it. But it looked good. It looked good. It looked good. Sunroof, everything looked good on it, but the payment. And it only took them 4 months to come get it. But when I hit that deer and everyone saw I hit the deer, they didn't know it was repoed. You see how I covered that up real good? And a lot of people are getting stuff repoed and taken away from them. But because you don't see all of that, all you see is on the outside. And as long as you look good on the outside, then they're going to keep praising you and praising you and think you got it, but you don't. That's why you shouldn't look at no man at his possessions or try to be like anybody else because you don't know what's on the inside of them. You don't know. And now that I've learned and matured spiritually, it's not about what you have. It's not about what you own. It's about who you represent. And if you represent Christ, it don't matter whether you drive a truck, a hoopie, or ride the bus, you will be effective at changing people's lives with the word of God that's coming out of your mouth. You can build some mansions. And as I said in my prayer, as my wife mentioned, we ought to be doers of the word. We ought to be building these mansions for people to move in. What I mean by that is we ought to be helping people fix their temple, their body, their inside. That's what we ought to be doing as Christians. And if we can do that, and if we can start laying down good foundation for people to build mansions, then the Lord will bless us with a mansion. I'm doing good tonight because I'm shutting up.
You know, I was thinking when you were talking about the car, the material stuff that that people put a front for. I'm not a material person, so that part, but I was thinking about, like, my past and my history. I could easily go sing praise and worship knowing that I'm tore up on the inside. Nobody knew that by just looking on the outside because I knew how to put on that mask and put on that the air of everything is okay. Not knowing that everything was not okay. So my temple was on shaky ground. And it's not that I didn't know the Lord. It's not that I wasn't serving the Lord. But at the time, personally, I don't feel that I was going deep, deep, deep in the Lord. It wasn't like I'm just going so deep and so hard for the Lord to where I totally surrender to the Lord. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. I thought I surrendered. I thought, but it was like just, you know, church ethics and church, you know, what you just do at church because you've been doing religion. That's the word I'm looking for. It was just church religion because that's how you do it. This is how you clap your hands. This is how you stomp your feet. This is how you shout. I mean, this is all theatrics because this is what I learned and I watch people doing at church. So yeah, I know how to copy that and do that. But the thing is, until I became real with the Lord, until I allowed Him to come and clean me up, empty me of and the things that I was going through until I totally surrendered myself to Him, that's when He was able to come in and have His way. So a lot of us, we put on these masks and these fronts, but we don't have to do that. He's waiting for you to say, come on in and help me. Cry out to Him, help me. It's that simple. Help me. That's all you got to do is help me. I've said it so many times. I need help or I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to lose my mind. Been there, done that. I share it with my husband all the time that I was at a point one time in my life where I wanted to run into the police station and just scream, help me. I just needed, I was going through such a mental battle that I needed help. And I'm calling myself a Christian. But until I totally surrender and let go of all of that mess that I was in, and allow the Lord to dwell fully, there is not going to be a change. So you have to empty that lot out. You got to mark the foundation. You got to accept Him into your heart. You got to go hard for the Lord. And you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. So, but you got to, you know, make that foundation strong in the Lord and let Him have His way so nothing Amen. Can shake you.
And that, like I said, building the foundation, you know, there's so much there. That's why I think it's a good lesson. And I just think everyone needs to understand and go back and read the scriptures for yourself, because if you can be shaken, if something can make you question your Christianity, something is wrong. Something is totally wrong. No matter what me or my wife go through, at the end of the day, we got to come to an understanding we're good. Not because we're good or we agree, but because of who we serve. And because who we serve, we may not agree with the same thing, but we know the Lord is going to make a way for it to work out in the end. That's when you have a strong foundation. And when you have that strong foundation, can't no one shake you. And this is why people ask me all the time now, especially, regardless, I can bring my marriage into it. I can bring the church I go into it. Everyone want to question what's going on. Who is this? Why are you doing that? You and your wife always got something going on. We do. You always talking about that church. I am. But when you know the foundation of what's going on and the solid foundation, there's nothing that you can do that can break that foundation. And I'm going to continue to brag about what the Lord is blessing my way. And the reason I do that is because I'm giving all the glory to the Lord. Because there, and anyone that know me, don't there? I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that smart. I'm not that bright. But what I am is I am a child of God. And when He's working for you and He's on your side, you know, He be in the room with me when I'm talking and I'm not talking. He doing all the talking. So I just say that to say this, you know, you have to surround yourself around people who's going to hold you accountable to believe that the foundation you're on, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, no matter what kind of storm you're going through, no matter what kind of storm. We didn't put all our business out there about our situation. Yeah, we're looking for a house. Is the Lord going to bless us? Well, since I've been going to Praise Tabernacle, it didn't take us from a certain amount of money to another certain amount. We in a whole different class bracket, a few short months. Now, people say, well, Derek, you bragging. And no, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, when you surround yourself around the right people, when they get blessed, we get part of the overflow. So we just sopping up from their blessing and from their blessing. And hopefully when me and my wife is blessed, you can sop up from our blessing. That's why we can't understand why our kids sometimes struggle the way they struggle, because we're blessed and they're not stocking up on our blessing. And I know this is mentioned. They're first of all, they're not in tune with the Spirit. They're not on that level to do that.
Right.
And second of all, it's just that easy. If I would have known what I know today back when I was running and doing with my father, I would be so much further ahead today. But it's okay because we learn at our own pace. But what I'm saying is it's important who you surround yourself around. The mask, I know it's Halloween time, but you're going to see a lot of these masks coming off, and you're going to see the people for who they really are. And then you're going to have to make a decision whether you're going to tear your house down and rebuild or you still stay on that shaky foundation. And if you want to stay on that shaky foundation all you want, that's on you. I just know I need to know that if I pick up my phone and whoever number I call, they can get a prayer through. That's what I need to know. And if I can't pick up my phone, if I got to keep going and strolling down the list of my phone and they can't get a prayer through, then something's wrong. Something is wrong. So I'm going to give y'all a homework assignment. Check your phone. I don't know how your phone is. Y'all got these new day. I still got Android, but y'all got these new phones. However the contact comes up, ask yourself, if I call them, can they get a prayer through for me? Or would you even call them to have them pray for you? Because I was going through my phone today, and I was like, nope. Nope. I don't know why they even in my phone. Because when you talk to them, they ain't doing nothing but giving you a bunch of BS. I ain't saying everybody, but there's a bunch of numbers on there. I just need to clear my phone and my email out because it's just not healthy spiritually. But then again, you never know who the Lord may use to put you in the line to do something because the Lord is doing a lot for us. But I'm done. Hopefully y'all got something out of this. Kay, anything else you want to say or add?
If I can, just give my points briefly, and then I'll get out your way. All right, so again, we were talking about tonight the steps to building a house. So these are the beginning steps to building a house. Point one that I gave was empty lot. That's when you give up your will, totally surrender to Christ. And the Bible verse that goes with that is Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So that's the empty lot. We got to empty it out. The second point was scrape the lot, mark it for the foundation, and put in the corner. For this, that one, mark the foundation. You got to accept the Lord into your heart. You got to let Him dwell. You got to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And the next one, point three, was laying out the foundation, the framing, the 2x4s that are placed on the bricks, which in the builder world is called resting on the foundation itself. So we need to rest on the foundation, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I have a scripture for that, which goes with the marking for the foundation, Ephesians 3:17. I read that earlier, but if you want to go back and read Ephesians 3:17, the fourth point was the plumbing system. That's a very important part of the house building process. And with us, we got a lot of gunk in us that we need to get out, a lot of nasty stuff that the Lord is not pleased with, and you got to make way to allow Him to dwell in you, and you got to get rid of that stuff. And let me see, did I have a scripture for that one? Yes, for that one I did have Psalms 51:10 when we talk about creating a clean heart and renewing the right spirit. So we need the right spirit. We need the Lord to clean us up and clean our heart and let His thoughts be our thoughts. Allow Him to come in and just change us up. Remember, the blueprint is from the beginning. He designed us. He knows how you're supposed to operate. We're the ones who messed up the flow of the process. We're the ones who get in the way of what the Lord is trying to do. So just let Him have His way in your life. And the last point was the slab, the pouring of the slab, the concrete, the covering of the concrete. And with that, pretty much with that, the bottom line that I wanted to get out of that particular point was, if you are a child of God, if you are a believer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are covered in the blood. So nothing you can do that's going to be too hard for the Lord to forgive you or allow you to move on, accept them, and just pray that everybody continue to be covered under his precious blood. So that's all I had. That's all I had. The last thing, I'm sorry, one more thing. Now, along the way with this house building, it's framed to carry the roof and the siding and I believe the drywall, and it has all this stuff, the plumbing that it's the frame is going to be carrying. And the main part is you have to have the skeleton of the house, and you got to have the framing of the house. And we need to just make sure that our framing is built on God's foundation. So make sure your framing, make sure your house, make sure your temple is built on the Lord's foundation. And that's all I have.
Amen. Amen. That was good. I enjoyed that. I learned a lot. You're fine. You're fine. I learned a lot just listening to you talk about the five points of the foundation. I can just preach on one of them. Actually, I can preach on all five of them, five different sermons. But it's all good. And we just hope that you guys got something out of the message tonight. Hopefully that you can practice building up your own temple, building up your temple the way God wants it to be. And just remember, it's his will, not your will. So you got to understand, it's his blueprint, not your blueprint. So everything's going to be the way you want it to be, the way you want it. That's not the way we operate. The New Day churches operate like that. The New Day Christians operate like that. But if you want to be a 100% for the Lord, it's his will and not your will. That means it's his blueprint. If he wants you to have a two-bedroom, it's only going to be a two-bedroom. Stop trying to make it a three-bedroom. And I'm going to leave that alone, too, because that's a whole nother sermon. But we just want to thank y'all for listening to us tonight. I get excited about the word, and when I get something, I want to run with it. And if you ain't known me by now, y'all all know that's how I roll. But we just want to thank y'all for listening for D&K Bible Break. We'll be back next Monday, same time. Different topic, and I just want to say we enjoy coming to y'all every Monday, even if y'all may not enjoy us. We enjoy doing it because it makes our relationship with the Lord that much stronger, so we got to prepare. And anytime you're preparing to do something for the Lord, it keeps you grounded and rooted in communicating with him. And I'm going to keep on doing it as long as I got breath in my body and every chance I get opportunity to share the word of God. And that's pretty much what I'm going to do. With that being said, I'm excited. I know the people over in London is excited. They enjoyed it. They're also excited about tomorrow. Tomorrow night Bible study is going to be something for us. I don't know if it's being done anywhere else. And when I say this, I'm not trying to be – I'm just excited that the Lord is using me to – do certain things. I'm just excited about being able to be used by the Lord. So if it sounds like I'm bragging, I'm really not. I'm just excited to be doing what God has called me to do. And I know I love to preach, but I also like to be used by God and to bring people closer to the Lord. And I don't know what's going to happen over in London. I'm not no prophet. I can't say this or say that. But the fact that we're partnering up with a few churches over there, and for them to want to come get us is exciting. To want to get me, the chaos man, to come over there and raise some chaos. And the only way I know how to raise chaos is to present the word of God. And Praise Tabernacle is going to bring all the chaos to London. When they hear Bible study Thursday night, when they hear Praise Tabernacle, Bishop Omar preach and his family. When we do our thing on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Sundays, that's my bringing chaos over there. That's the word of God. And I know Bishop gonna tear the mic up Thursday night, Sunday, and when we get ready to make our grand entrance over there, I just know Lord got something brewing for all of us. And I'm just excited. I hope the teachers of Praise Tabernacle is ready because we're going next level stuff. And when I say next level stuff, next level stuff. London, England won't be the same after tomorrow night. We coming. I don't know who teaching tomorrow night, but where they really don't even matter because we ain't changing what we do. We just going to do it a little bit better than what we've been doing it. I can guarantee you that because we all want to be used by the Lord the way the Lord wants to do it. And now it's mighty funny, Kay, now that I say London and you know, I'm getting ready to take it there. And, you know, a month before this happened, you know, or a month and a half before this happened, we were at 50,000 listeners per week. And now from 50,000 listeners, we're going over to a different country. And, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm happy about it because, again, the people that's being used, the people that's going to – the Lord is going to use there, you know, it's been in the works way before I got here. So the Lord knew what he was doing from day one. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m., same time, same station, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, Pastor Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary will be conducting it, and his elders and evangelists will be teaching tomorrow night. Then Thursday night, we have them back on for their Thursday night praise and worship service. Omar Ministries will be in full effect Thursday night, 7 p.m., same time. And then on Sunday, they will be at 11 a.m., and you get the full fledge of England Bound this week. So hopefully they'll be listening to us, and we'll be getting ready to make our appearance over there. Also, on Wednesday night, we have Elder George Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall. And on Saturdays, we have Spiritual Sense with the Overseer Timothy Jackson. And then you have D&K Bible Break on Mondays, Praise Tabernacle Church on Sundays. I know I'm just messing that all up, but y'all get this, and y'all know we're going to have some new commercials coming out by the end of the week, letting everybody know ain't nothing changed. Time, everything is still the same. It's just we're going to be hitting more people. So for all those that listen to us tonight, me and Kay just want to say thank you. We hope you learned something. Come back next Monday. And if you can't wait the next Monday, come back tomorrow night. If you ain't got Bible study, come join Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. You will be truly, truly blessed. Trust me when I say that. You'll be truly blessed. Mm-hmm. With that being said, I think we're done. Anything else you want to say before we go, Kay?
No, just thank everybody for listening. Y'all have a blessed week.
What'd you say?
Don't let none shake your foundation.
Amen. Amen.
For me too. Amen.
Amen. And again, remember, next week, just remember, tomorrow, 7 p.m., we'll be back live. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 p.m. This is your host, the one and only Derek Oliver. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. Y'all have a blessed week. Until we meet again, we are out.
Good night.
What's up out there, radio world? This is the Chaos Talk Show with your host, the one and only Derek Oliver.